Well, great morning. You know, as always, it is a humble blessing to stand behind this sacred desk. But before I begin, I would love to pray and just ask the Lord to open our hearts and our eyes and that we leave here differently this morning. So would you pray with me? Bow your heads. Father, what an amazing, humbling blessing to stand behind this sacred desk. I do not deserve it. At times I question even how you could use such a wretch like me. But thank you for your grace, for it is sufficient. For your power is made perfect in weakness, and I am weak. And I am in need of your grace. I'm in need of you, Lord. Thank you for this precious flock. All those that have ears to hear this morning, my prayer is that you would open up everyone's heart this morning and ears to do your will. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your convicting power. Thank you for your guiding grace. Thank you for your enabling power to do the Lord's will. We thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you, Lord, that we have a living God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May your will be done this morning. Move me completely out the way. May all those in this room hear completely from you. We love and praise you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we say.
Amen.
Christ's power is made perfect in weakness. If you have your Bibles, and I pray that you do, would you open up to the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And we're going to be coming from chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read the first 10 verses, but we're going to deal specifically with verses 9 and 10. But we're going to read the whole chapter up to verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul. I'm reading from the LSB. It is necessary to boast, though it's not profitable. But I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except in weaknesses. For if I do wish to boast, I will not be foolish. For I will be speaking the truth, but I will refrain from this, so that no one will consider me beyond what he sees in me or hears from me. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions and hardships. For the sake of Christ, for when I am weak, then I am strong.
Yeah.
One of the reasons, and we talked a little bit about this morning in Sunday school, One of the main reasons I believe Christianity, biblical, let me use that word, biblical Christianity has to be so drastically distorted in order to sell it to the mass markets is that the market, and guess what? Us too. We want power to escape weaknesses in everyday affairs, in everyday leisure. But biblical Christianity, through Christ Jesus, offers power to endure weaknesses in love. Verse 9 just doesn't sell or fit that paradigm. Let's look at verse 9. And he said to me, this is Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Weaknesses? Think about that. In weaknesses. What the market wants to escape from weaknesses, that's why they sell these books, How to Have a Better Life. You fill in the blanks. How to overcome trials and tribulations, be a better me. The market wants us to escape from weaknesses, not power in weaknesses. But to meet that felt need in the market and in us, the message must be distorted. And guess what? Often is. But by distorting the message to make it more immediately appealing, two things are lost. Number one, the truth of the message is lost. And number two, the chance to meet the really deep need that we all have in the midst of adversity is lost. So, what I want to do this morning, for the sake of God's truth, and for the sake of meeting yours and my deepest need, is to lay open this text with as little distortion as possible. You have it in front of you. You be the judge of it. Amen? This morning we are going to talk about the Christian experience in weaknesses. And there are three questions to answer in the time that we have. Number one, what are the weaknesses that Paul has in mind here when he says the power of Christ is made perfect in weakness? The second question I want to answer, what is the source of such weaknesses? Do they come from Satan or from God or both? And the third question, what is the purpose of such weaknesses? Is there a goal or an aim for why weaknesses come? And I ask these three questions not only because they are the ones answered in the text, but because knowing these things and being reminded of them, especially in our hearts, as God's truth, it will give us the strength to live and to endure, and often even to thrive in the midst of so many weaknesses. So just to bring it a little bit closer to home, I don't think I've ever shared this. Right after my arrest, the Lord broke me. I was in the backseat of a police car and set me on a trajectory of eyes being open, having a hunger to read the word, and I was very open to individuals bringing me a Bible, and I mean, it was a change. I began to hate the things I used to love the things I used to hate, namely God and people. And I hungered for the word. Well, it was like 6 months before I went to my arraignment. I wanted to plead guilty right then and there. Judge Galbany wouldn't let me. He's like, no, we got to go through the process. So I had to have a trial. The only difference was at my trial, I pled guilty. But I'll never forget. I'm in the Word. I'm learning. I'm growing. The Lord's putting people in my life to mentor me and disciple me. Right there in the St. Bernard Parish Prison. I never forget the day of my trial. I had been all over the newspapers. I mean, when you beat up your 72-year-old aunt, you was the football star supposed to, you know, what the world looked at with me. And here's this guy, this kid that was going to be the poster boy, being blown up, survived that, break all the Russian records at Chalmette. You know, I was the earthly, worldly poster boy, and then I beat up their homegirl. My aunt was fourth generation in Chalmette. I beat up a St. Bernard Chalmette homegirl. And guess what? All the DAs and judges knew that. So I was an enemy. Big time. I never forget walking in that courtroom and the look from people. I felt weak, y'all. The cameras were in there from the television, and it was a big deal in this little town. No one had ever done that. And I am guilty, but godly sorrow brings about repentance without regret. And it had this, for my graces of remove this. I wanted all that removed. And I didn't handle it that well, but I took full responsibility. Even to after I pled guilty, I never got past that. It took a minute with all the people in there, and it was like everybody was against me. But I knew deep down this, even though I asked that the Lord remove all the static and chaos and hate around me, He didn't. But He carried me through it. My grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And oh, did I feel weak in that courtroom. Even after I pled guilty and, I asked Judge Garber, he wanted to prolong my sentence. And I'm like, no, you don't have time? I was like the last guy. I stayed all day in the courtroom. And I pled guilty, and he sentenced me that day. And I signed all my paperwork. And the TV cameras and the journalists stayed. And, even after, they asked me, why did you do it? And I said, sin. No doubt didn't accept that, but because of the sin and hatred in me, because I'm a wretch. I did that. And so, but I'll never forget that. It was like torment. But the Lord carried me through that. And y'all know the rest of the story. I went back to the parish prison. I might have stayed maybe two more months in the parish, and they shipped me to Hunt in Angola. But I'll never forget. I asked the Lord to remove, that was my thorn at that time. And many of us have thorns in our life, just like Paul. Paul asked the Lord to remove this thorn. I believe Paul's thorns was the Judaizers. Because if you go back through all his letters, we're going to talk a little bit about that. But we all have thorns. And we want to escape the thorns, remove it. And what did Jesus say? No. For my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weaknesses. But yes, since knowing Jesus, in my life, joy has rolled over me like the waves of the sea, but not always. I mean, I'm going through a situation in the Livingston Parish Detention Center right now. I've talked with a few of y'all one-on-one. Am I to run away from it? No. I want to. Look, I got a DOC number. A lot of them remind me of that a lot of times, but that's the consequences. Is it my pride? Probably. Well, I'm no longer in prison, but guess what? There's times in my life I want to escape me having a DOC number. That'll never change. So what do I do? My grace is sufficient, for my power, Jesus says, is made perfect in weakness. There are times when the tide goes out, God is still God. Joy is still God. Joy is still joy. Grace is still grace. But there are times I'm baking in the seaweed on the beach, waiting for the tide to come back in. And it gets hard. A lot on my plate. But do I depend on the flesh, or do I depend on the Lord? Why this sermon is so much for me first, before getting to stand behind this sacred desk and share it with y'all. Because the Lord's working on me continually. Praise God. Praise God. However, what makes days and months and years like that livable for me, and my prayer is for you, is the grace and power of Jesus that is described in our text this morning. So number one, what are weaknesses? What are the weaknesses Paul has in mind here when he quotes Jesus as saying in verse 9, my power is made perfect in weakness, and then says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. And then again in verse 10 he says, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses. I think the safest way to answer this is to let the full words in verse 10 fill out what Paul has in mind here. What Paul summarizes as weaknesses in verse 9, he spells out in full words in verse 10. Insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. That's the full words he uses, and let's look at them. Number one, what are insults? When people think of clever ways of making your faith or your lifestyle or your words look stupid or inconsistent, what are these hardships? Circumstances forced upon you? Reversals of fortune against your will? This could refer to any situation where you feel trapped. You didn't plan it or think it would be this way, but there you are, and it is hard. How about persecutions? Wounds or abuses or painful circumstances or acts of prejudice? How about exploitation from people because of your Christian faith or your Christian moral commitments? It's when you are not treated fairly, you get a raw deal. How about calamities or distresses or difficulties or troubles? The idea is one of pressure or crushing or being weighed down. Circumstances that tend to overcome you with stress and tension. So you can see here that what Paul has in mind is not sin. It is not talking about a kind of behavior. Like we might say, he has a weakness for lust, or he has a weakness for overeating. Paul is not talking about bad choices that we make, not in the text. He is not saying the power of Christ is perfected in my bad choices, or I will all the more gladly boast of my bad choices. Weaknesses here in the context is authorial intent in this letter. Are not imperfect behaviors. They are circumstances and situations and experiences and wounds that make us look weak. Things we would probably get rid of if we had the human strength. If we were strong, we might return the insult with such an effective put down that the opponent would wither. And everyone would admire our wit and cleverness of having a sharp tongue. If we were strong, we might take charge of our own fortune and turn back the emerging hardship and change circumstances so that they go the way we want them to go and not force us into discomfort. If we were strong, we might turn back the persecution so quickly and so decisively that no one would want to ever mess with us again. If we were strong, we might use our resources to get out of the calamity or the distress as fast as possible, or take charge of the situation and marshal our own resources so masterfully as to minimize its pressure. But in reality, we don't usually have that kind of human strength. We try. And even when we may have it, Christians don't use it the way the world does. Or we shouldn't. Jesus tells us not to return evil for evil. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. And let's look at verses 38 through 42. Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. Look at verse 39. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your garment also. And whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, when reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. And then he added, we have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. Mark that down. In other words, this kind of lifestyle, this kind of response to abuse, looks weak and beggarly and feeble and anemic and inept. At least it looks that way to those who thrive on pride and equate power with the best comeback. So the answer to our first question is that weaknesses are not sins, but experiences and situations and circumstances and wounds that are hard to bear. And we can't remove them either because they are beyond our control or because love dictates that we not return evil for evil. Amen? Our second question, where do they come from? What is the source of such weaknesses? My courtroom obviously experience was caused because I committed a crime. However, also, I'm in Christ. I'm a brand new born again believer. Let's see what this looks like. Do they come from Satan or God or both? Let's take Paul's thorn in the flesh as an example and see what his answer is. In verses 1 through 4, which we've already read, Paul describes what amazing revelations of God's glory he had been given. He was caught up into paradise and heard things that he cannot tell or even be told on earth. That's verses 3 and 4. Then he goes on. Think about this. How easy it would have been for Paul to think that he was already rising above the ordinary hardships and troubles of earthly life because he was given such a privilege. Think about that. But verse 7 shows what actually happened. Let's look at it. Because of the surpassing greatness, Paul says, of these revelations, for this reason, to keep me from, some Bibles say, becoming conceited. Mine says, exalting myself. There was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. I kind of mentioned what, with a little chiasm, what I believe the thorn is. From the context of Scripture, every letter he's got these Judaizers coming in trying to say the blood ain't sufficient of Christ. So you got blood plus works. Every letter he's fighting that. I believe that's the thorn, but that's, you have to come to your own conclusions with Scripture. This thorn in the flesh, whether it was some physical problem or some relentless enemies, is one of the weaknesses that Paul is talking about here. We know this because when he prays that God would take it away, verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this. The Lord answers in verse 9, my power is made perfect in weakness. Told Paul, no. How many of us pray for escape of our situations and what does he do? Is he really saying no? Bible says God says everything is yes and amen. It may be no to you, but it's yes to him. Amen. Why? Because he knows better for us. That's where we're headed. And where did it come from? Paul calls it a messenger of Satan, verse 7, given to harass him. So one thing is clear, is that some weaknesses do come from Satan. Satan afflicts the children of God through his angels or messengers. His aim is to destruction, always remember that. He came to what? He lies, he steals, and he kills. So His aim is destruction and death and misery. Remember that. But it's not that simple, is it? It's not that simple. Satan is not the only one at work here. God is at work. This thorn is not just the work of Satan to destroy. It is the work of God to save. We know this for two reasons. First, because Paul describes the purpose for the thorn in terms of preventing pride. But Satan's whole design is to produce pride, not prevent it. That's what Satan does. We know what he did with Christ right after he'd come out of 40 days of hunger. He's going, I'm going to give you the world. You know, throw yourself down. I am. And what did the Lord use? The word every time to defeat Satan. So we know Satan produces pride. This was to prevent pride. This is how Satan kills, either with pride in what we have done or despair over what we haven't done. Remember, the world says guilty, 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 guilty. That's Satan. You ain't good enough. Oh, just one hit, one drink, oh, one look. Destroy, 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 destruction, despair. Paul's revelations in paradise made him very, very vulnerable to pride and self-exaltation. My walk in the courtroom that day was with all these people against me. We're going to trial. I could have very easily done that. And guess what? I've never said this before. I probably could have beat the charge. In this sense, it was never an attempt murder, y'all. It wasn't. Number one, I never had specific intent. I came home that night and started. I didn't have a premeditated intent to come beat my aunt up. It happened in a split moment. It can never be attempt murder. Murder, you must have a specific intent to kill. An attempt is, I failed. I didn't have it on my mind. I'm going to kill anime. Never cry. That's my aunt. I can honestly say I've had those thoughts, but I've never enacted upon them. Especially on my nanny. So if I'd have went to trial, you know what I would wind up with? Second degree battery. Yeah, I put my hands on them. Second degree battery, you know what the max is? 5 years. Is that really what the Lord, would 5 years have done me good? Think about that. Man, I was a mess. The Lord knew exactly, not one day short of how long he needed me in prison to prepare me to stand here at Salem Baptist Church on August 10th, 2025. With an outdate in 2034. With 85%, that would have been my outdate. I could have easily said, oh, they're all against me. Okay, let's go to trial. But I didn't. To keep me from becoming conceited and be prideful, that thorn was put in my... And praise God for thorns. Embrace the thorns. That's where we're headed here this morning. Paul embraced this thorn. He has to remove it. It's our first human inclination. I got to get out of this. But Jesus said, no, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul's revelations in paradise made him vulnerable to pride and self-exaltation. So, God uses the hostile intentions of Satan for Paul's holiness. Satan wanted to make Paul miserable and turn him away from the faith and the ministry and the value of the visions he had seen. But God wanted to make Paul humble and turn him away from self-exaltation. Why? So God appointed the thorn of Satan for the work of salvation. The other reason We know the throne of God is God's work. It's not and not just Satan's work. Is that when Paul prays in verse 8 that God would take away the thorn, the Lord says, no, because my power is made perfect in this weakness. In other words, God says, I have a purpose in what is happening to you. This is not ultimately Satan destroying work. It is ultimately my saving, sanctifying work. Amen? Just like it was with Job. Man, take the time and read through Job. If you've read through it again. God permits Satan to do what? To afflict his righteous servant and turns the affliction for his good purposes. Look at, let's look at Luke. Turn to Luke, chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. Luke, chapter 22. Look what he says. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed earnestly for you that your faith may not fail. And you, once you have returned, strengthen your brothers. Isn't that a blessing? Strengthen your brothers once you're going through it. That's the whole idea of us going through trials and tribulations. Paul hints on this in Corinthians, that we're able to comfort others with the same comfort through the trial that we were first received from him. Now give it away. Now give it away. Now we are able to be a blessing. He will never, ever send you on your calling without first developing your character for the calling. Not everybody's built for prison ministry. People have tried. It's a whole different ballgame, but praise God for it. That's why I believe mightily in the perseverance of the saints. Those who went out from us were never one of us. Why? When trials and tribulations, insults, persecutions, and all come, they do what? They run. This is not what I banked on. This is not what I bought into. Right, you're right, you bought into it. Because you surely wasn't called into it. If you was called into it, you'd have never walked away from it. The doctrines of grace is the only doctrine that not only encourages but mandates persecution of the saints. This is what this is all about. So, the answer to our second question is that the source of our weaknesses may sometimes be Satan and his destructive designs for us, but always, our weaknesses are designed by God for our good and the good of others. This is why the truth of God's sovereign grace is so precious in the midst of hardship and calamity. God is in full control of Satan. Bank on it. He defeated Satan. That's what the resurrection is. Satan does nothing to God's children that God does not design with infinite skill and love for our good. Amen? Which brings us to the final question, which we've already really answered. What's the purpose? What is the purpose of such weaknesses? Is there a goal or an aim for why the weaknesses come? Why insults? Why persecutions? Why calamities? Why troubles? Glad you asked. Why is my boss so hard on me at work, hypothetically? Why does my dad have cancer? Why does my children go astray? Why I have no friends? Why is nothing working in my life? Why do I have so many denials when I try to get the bank to give me a loan? And these are, you can fill in the question. This is just a few I threw out there. Paul gives three brief answers about his own experience, and I think they are tremendously important for us to live wholly by today and throughout this year, for the rest of our lives, for that matter. First, Paul says that Satan has a purpose to harass me and you, or to buffet you. That's verse 7. And so, it's okay to pray for relief. We know Satan's purpose: destroy, kill, lie, destruct. That's Satan's purpose. I get it. And then guess what? It's okay to pray for escape. However, that's what Paul did until he got a word from the Lord. Pain is not a good thing in itself. God does not delight in your suffering. Satan does, and he must be resisted. Amen? Second, God's purpose over and through Satan's harassment is our humility. Paul was in huge danger, as well as the rest of us in his room, of pride and self-exaltation. And God took the steps needed to keep him humble, as well as us too. This is an utterly strange thing in our self-saturated age. God thinks humility is more important than comfort. Real talk. And praise God. Humility is more important than freedom from pain. He will give us a mountaintop experience in paradise and then bring us through anguish of soul, lest we think that we have risen above the need for total reliance on Him and His grace. He'll break you. What good father won't chastise their sons and daughters? Amen? He will give us this mountaintop experience, but He'll knock our feet from under us. So, God's purpose is our humility and lowliness and reliance on Him. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me back up a couple of pages here. Let's go ahead and look at verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says, "Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. Why? So that we would not have confidence in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." Amen? Flip over a couple of pages. Same letter. Let's go to chapter 4. Look at verse 7. "But we have this treasure." Praise God. What is this treasure? "In earthly vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." Thank you, Jesus. It's Him, so that we depend on Him, that we cherish Him. God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in Him. Finally, God's purpose in our weaknesses is to glorify the grace and power of His Son fully. This is the main point of verses 9 and 10 that we spoke on this morning. Jesus says, My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weaknesses. The world doesn't understand that, and it's okay. They're blind. They're acting just like they're supposed to, but we're not to criticize them. We're not to talk to them like they're foolish. They are. They've already shown that by their actions. But we ought to love them and, main point, glorify God through it all, so that when they see us going through this, they'll say, "Something's different about him. Something's different about her." And guess what? God gets the glory. Amen. And it makes them jealous. I want that. Well, let me tell you how I'm able to do this. Not on my own. It's because of the grace of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. God's design, y'all, this is the whole nutshell, is to make you a showcase for Jesus' power. But not necessarily the way the market or the way we think it demands. Not by getting rid of all our weaknesses, but by giving strength to endure and even rejoice in and through the tribulation. We must, y'all, let God be God here. If He wills to show the perfection of His Son's power in our weaknesses instead of by our escape from weaknesses, then He knows best. Trust Him. Hebrews 11 is a great guide for us here. Man, read through that faith chapter. It says that by faith, some escaped the edge of the sword, at verse 34. And by faith, some were killed by the sword, verse 37. Some escaped, some were killed. By faith, some stopped the mouths of lions, And by faith, others were sawn in two. By faith, some were mighty in war. And by faith, others suffered chains and imprisonments. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4 briefly. Beginning at verse 11. Look at Paul, same author. Paul's in prison here. Not that I speak from want, for I learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know also how to live in abundance. In any and all things, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Verse 13, one of the most badly quoted scriptures in all the Bible. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to fellowship with me in my affliction. The ultimate purpose, y'all, of God in our weaknesses is to glorify the kind of power that moved Christ to the cross and kept Him there until the work of love was done. That's powerful. Scripture says He learned obedience through what? Suffering. Here's the God-man. The God-man. Paul said that Christ crucified was foolishness to the Greeks, a stumbling block to the Jews, but to those who are called, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. The deepest need that you and I have in weakness and adversity is not quick relief, but the well-grounded confidence that what is happening to us is part of the greatest purpose of God in the universe. The glorification of the grace and power of His Son, the grace and power that bore Him to the cross and kept Him there until the work of love was done. That's what God is building into our lives, church. That is the meaning of weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamity. Father, bless the ears that have heard this message. Continue, Lord, to break us and mold us more and more into Your image. Cause us to decrease so that You may increase in our lives through persecution, insults, hardships, and calamities. May we take heed to Your word. May we leave here differently. May we be a blessing to all those that we come in contact. We love and praise You. It's in Jesus' name we say.
Amen.